Save the Mat Guy, save the world.
The Zune is out.
Save the Mat Guy, save the world.
And CNN disses it here on our podcast.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
I'm Tim Robertson, joined today by Chad Perry and Guy Searle. Hi, Chad.
Hello, Tim.
How you doing, Guy?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
If you subscribe to this show, you're obviously subscribed to the mini podcast as well, since it's all listed together on the iTunes Music Store and in our RSS feed. As such, anybody listening to this will probably, if they listen to the last mini, number 15, and it was the last mini.
Mm-hmm.
And as I explained on that show, we are changing our format. We are retooling the podcasts. Except for it's just one now. Or it will be after this week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you've grown tired of hearing Tim and I rant on and on for the last
Well, together, Chad and I have done 103 shows.
So, last 103 shows.
Yes. This is show 107, but I did the first four by myself.
Yep.
And they were horrible.
Won't make it to the best of.
That's right. It won't make it quite there. Although I did have a couple requests. Someone had sent in. Leo Laporte did a best of on Twit a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I got two or three emails from people saying, have you thought about doing a best of? You've been around longer than Twit has. And I thought, well, that's true, and maybe we'll do that sometime. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of effort.
Oh,
I mean, you literally have to listen to
every single show.
And you don't want to limit yourself to just this podcast. We've got 15 episodes of the mini that would warrant
all
inclusion.
Really good. Yeah.
So it's like, boy, it would not be fun to put together.
Mm-mm. Well, it would kind of depend on what angle you were going to take on it. If you were just kind of looking for the best content, that you'd have to include the stuff that was on the mini. But if you were just looking for the stuff that was, you know, just wacky and funny, then, you know, the pre-recorded segments that were on the mini just kind of wouldn't make it.
Well, unless we included Not Mac News in there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Chris's Not Mac News.
And yours.
Well,
Not Mac News will return. It will be on the new format of the My Mac Podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be the My Mac Podcast. I was thinking about calling it My Mac Podcast 2.0 and starting over in the numbering, but I'm like, we've got over 100 episodes under our belt. Why would I want to kill the numbering scheme at this point?
Yeah.
And, you know, although the numbering really isn't reflective of how many podcasts we've produced, because we've got 15 other ones. So technically, if I really wanted to get super accurate, the next podcast
would be 123.
Yeah, instead of 107 or 108. I think we're just going to just continue it as
108.
108's the next show.
I think so.
And what we're doing is we're going to do all pre-recorded segments. Well, technically, it's all pre-recorded.
Right.
People are listening to this and not listening live, so this was recorded too. But
we're going to include the segments that are in the normal mini podcast, and there's going to be a chat session with Guy and Tim and I focused on a particular topic. So.
Yes, we're going to get away from rambling.
Yes,
I guess you would say.
Right.
Like we're doing right now. And so ours might not even kick off the new podcast. We do have a new logo. I sent you guys advanced copies. Donnie Yankelo created it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought
too.
It was very reflective of MyMac.com and the fact that it's a podcast.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with the previous two graphics that Todd Long created for us.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I love them both.
Yep.
But we are starting over, kind of. We're I don't want to say starting over. We're refocusing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a new graphic would be warranted.
Yep.
And Donnie just volunteered, and
he's getting ready to send that to me, and I'm gonna screw around with it some in Livetype.
Oh, cool! You're gonna make a little animated thing, are you?
Yeah, you know, something we might want to think about using when we get some content up on, you know, whatever site we're going to host the content on, video content, after or during Macworld 2007, which I am going to. Yay!
Yay! So am I.
Oh, you are? Is that now official?
Well, yeah. I'm waiting for one sponsor check to pay for the air flight round trip ticket from. Here in Battle Creek, my wife will drive me to Kalamazoo, and I will fly to Cincinnati, and then I will fly to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And there's worse things than being in Cincinnati.
That's true. That is.
I can't think of any
true.
Off the top of my head, but there are.
Mm-hmm. Being in Cleveland.
Well, yeah.
No, we love Ohio, even though Michigan and Ohio are playing this week.
Yeah,
I'm a Michigan fan, and I hope they crush. Anyway.
Yeah, I lived in Ohio for about 3 years.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody says, and I know some people in Texas and Florida will argue this point, but there is no college rivalry greater than Michigan and Ohio. There isn't. And this year, ranked number one and number two. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, University of Florida is up there, but it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare.
There's something about the history of Michigan, and but you know we've got listeners all over the world, and they could care less about American college football. So let's move on to some MAC news. What do you got, Guy?
Okay, well, first up is you'll love this, the Macarena virus. It's infected all of about 50 MACs, and it's true.
It's the end of the world as we know it,
and we feel fine. Basically, Symantec, who's the leading maker of antivirus software, blah, 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 they don't sponsor us, so they don't get too much of a plug, has announced that an in-the-wild Mac virus has been discovered. However, less than 50 machines have been infected due to an apparent difficulty of writing a self-replicating virus for OS X, and I'm sure that's going to cause news to everybody.
Symantec wants to sell software for Mac users.
I know they do. Yeah.
It's an Intel Mac only virus that has a poor replicating mechanism and is expected to do little harm to.
Which is what, maybe 1 to 2% tops of active Macintosh users right now are on Intel.
Right.
Well, tops.
The weird thing about this is that the unknown author of the virus made his frustration known within by inserting a little bit of code that says "so many problems for so little code" message. And in related news, two zero-day threats are currently circulating for Windows XP, taking advantage of the multiple vulnerabilities within ActiveX directories.
I'm sure most
more news
hardcore Windows users really are looking forward to Vista.
Yeah,
it's what a nightmare XP has been. I almost feel sorry for them. But
the hardcore XP users, I mean, really. The viruses don't affect them because,
they're protected.
They take the time to make sure that all their definitions are up to date. And anyone out there who's listening to the podcast that uses XP, God help you. But go ahead. If you don't know how, find somebody that does and get your computer completely protected.
I'm going to go off topic again.
Just
a second. Tomorrow is a big day for consumer electronics.
It's the release
of the PlayStation 3.
If you can get one.
Which is realistically almost impossible.
Yeah.
They're only shipping 400,000 units to the United States. I want one. I want one bad.
Did you sign up for a...
Oh, hell no. Come on, I'm too lazy. So I pretty much figure I'm not going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've resigned myself to that fact.
Well, at least until they come out in bulk.
Until they come in bulk, yeah. Probably middle. So I figured, probably by summertime I'll pick one up. The Nintendo Wii launches on Sunday, and they're shipping millions of those. There'll be no problem for me getting one of those.
And let's see. Let's think about this for a second. Sony will make no money on the PS3s when they're first shipped out, and Nintendo
probably won't for
money
years.
On every single console
shipping,
they sell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus, the Wii comes with free games. Wii Sports comes free in the package. Mm-hmm. When's the last time a console actually shipped with games in there?
Unless it was bundled together to sell more of them, and that's usually not until after they've been on the market for 6 to 8 months.
And then it's only a special thing.
Yeah.
And usually it costs more for the bundle.
Yes, exactly.
Like with the PSP. You could get the PSP where you got the console, or you could get, what was it called, the special pack or...
Yeah. Yeah, but it would cost another $50.
Yeah. Right. Hey, but it did include a 32 meg Sony memory stick.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. I'm still using my 32 meg.
So am I.
Card. I want to get a. I keep seeing the 1 gigs for like, I don't know, $40, and I keep thinking I really should get one, but
mm-hmm.
I just don't play the PSP enough to worry about it. Anyways, going back to wanting a. See, the reason I can tell this now is because by the time this is up on the servers and live, it'll be too late for anybody else to follow my lead. So we're, I don't even remember where we were. My wife and I were talking about it with somebody else. And she said, well, you know how you got the 360? You got that through Dell, Dell.com. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. She goes, why don't you try to get the PlayStation through Dell or something along those lines?
Yeah.
I don't think she actually said, why don't you try to, because she doesn't really want me to buy one, but I'm a guy, and I have to have one. Yeah. So I looked up at Dell.com, and it said information coming soon or coming soon to Dell.com, but there was no information about pre-ordering or anything. So on a whim, I called, and I got rerouted to this smaller division in Oregon, and it's the Consumer Electronics mm-hmm. Division. And I was talking to this lady. I said, she's really helpful, really nice. And I know people are probably like, oh, you're calling Dell, you're a Mac user, what mm-hmm. the heck? I don't care what company or what they sell, if they're as nice as these people are. I'm going to give them props.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady at Dell was absolutely fantastic. So I told her, I said, you know, I was kind of interested in buying a PlayStation 3 through Dell, but it doesn't look like it's on your website. She goes, right, we're not going to sell them through the website. I said, oh, that's too bad. Are you going to sell them over the phone? And she goes, not really. I said, well, what do you mean?
Oh, okay.
Well, what we're doing, because we're not sure, yeah, we're not sure how many we're getting, but what we're doing is anybody who calls in that's a preferred customer, we're going to take your name and address and phone number, including cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And credit
and
card.
And when we find out, well, if you're a preferred customer, they already know your
right.
credit card.
True.
When we get them in the morning on Friday, we're going to call you and ask if you want to buy one. Would you like to sign up and get put on the list? We're going to call people in the order that they call us.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to scream, yes, yeah, yes?
I said, yeah, put me on. So this is how lazy I am. While other people are waiting in line for 20 to 48 hours in the cold, especially.
It's flying to Japan even to get
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to sit on my fat, lazy butt and let Dell call me to offer to sell me a PS3. There's no guarantee that they're yeah. even will get any, and let alone get to my name on the list. She said,
but
I'm not.
Tim Robertson will be up all night tonight yeah. waiting for that call.
I'm thinking about calling him again tonight to verify that yeah. I'm on the list and you guys are going to be calling me in the morning. But I think if I do that.
Is Santa here yet? Is Santa here yet?
Has he come yet? So I may be getting a PS3. And I'm definitely getting a Nintendo Wii this weekend.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
How many game systems do you have?
Every stinking one made except for Intellivision.
He's right.
The
Coleco.
Turbo Graphics and the ColecoVision.
No, I have ColecoVision.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah,
did you have an Coleco. Atari 5200 or the 7800?
Yes, I do. I've got both of those.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, God.
And every one of my consoles work, with the exception of one of my NESs. I've got two, and one of them doesn't work, which is what I thought Chad and I might do for the follow-up on the Mac mod. I thought maybe we would turn an NES into the Mac Mini, but then I saw someone else do it, and I was like, ah, screw that.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you guys already did it with a 2600, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. But something cool never goes out of style. So that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
By the time most people listen to this, I will have either become extremely fortunate and got one, or not. And a lot of people are saying, well, if you get one, are you going to sell it? And I thought about it. I thought, you know, I'm a pretty trustworthy person, and most of the people that go up to MyMac.com know who I am now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I went up on MyMac.com and posted it for $2,000, it would probably sell.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the trustworthy part.
Yeah, me too. And that could pay for my Macworld trip.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So if I do get one, I'm going to see what the eBay stuff does and, mm-hmm. and what kind of demand there really is. And what the higher prices are. And I'm not going to mm-hmm. price it so outrageous that nobody would buy it.
Yeah.
Well, it's outrageously priced to begin with.
Yeah, well, not really. Not when you look at all the components and what it can do. It's actually underpriced.
Isn't it like $599
and $699? $599 and $699. She asked me which one I prefer, and I said the $599 one.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the price, but because I figure most people, if they're going to spend that much money anyways, they're going to get
we'll
the top
get the
of the line.
More expensive
right.
one. Right.
So if I say I want the lower end one,
more likely to find
more
one.
More likely to get one. Yeah. So
what's the difference between them?
I think one has HDMI, or I. You know what? It's changed so many times. I don't even know. I know one has a 20 gig hard drive, and one has a 60. But they'll be upgradable eventually anyway. So what the heck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, once your warranty runs out, who the hell cares if you crack the case?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think they'll probably be add-ons. They both have USB 2.0. So, well, when I say the both, I mean PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360. So, anyways, that's the cool news. That's how I'm getting around going and waiting in lines and being disappointed. And I hope it works. I'm not really confident that it will, but I'm hoping. And hopefully by this time next week, I'll be playing two new video game systems. Which is sad, because I'm still playing Saints Row on the Xbox 360, and I just got Gears of War as well. So,
yeah, I just picked up Need for Speed Carbon, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Pretty fun, huh?
Yeah, it is. I like how you can actually, because typically with car games on consoles, you know, you can slam into a wall at 180 miles an hour and the car will just turn in a different direction and you keep going.
That's awesome. Why don't they make games that are this much fun for the Macintosh? That's what I want to know. They don't. I know there's a lot of hardcore Mac gamers, but that's almost an oxymoron at this point. It just, there's no good, I mean, they're
have to have games.
Caesar 3, is that what just came out? Age of Empires 3, what is
it? Yeah, and Civilization.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Civilization 4.
And it just came out, it was out a year ago on the PC.
Well, actually, I think it's Civilization 3 that's coming out on the Mac, and Civilization 4 is already out on the PC.
Yeah, it's just retarded.
Yeah, well, it's just retarded. We talked about this.
We just need to give up. Seriously.
Well, I don't think so much giving up, but I think that as more and more people get Intel Macs and, you know, the ease of programming for the Mac OS as compared to the Mac OS.
I disagree. I think because the consoles are getting so powerful that the real money in computer games is in the consoles, not in the desktop. I really believe that.
Well, what's been the sales figures for PC games versus console games? Is it still going
down? You both
were
talking. Let me...
Guy, go ahead.
Go ahead, Guy.
I was going to say, what's been the breakdown between PC and console games? Is it steadily going down in one direction?
Oh, yeah, it's not even close. Oh, it's not even close. Consoles are kicking PC's butt left and right. All you got to do is look at total sales. It's not even close. But you could also point to World of Warcraft and say, well, yeah, but PC games are still selling. Look at all these people playing World of Warcraft, which you really can't do on a console because of... there's no keyboard and no mouse, which you really do need for a game like that. But I think that's probably the exception to the rule, if anything. Console games are just simply much better than the PC games. I got
but
to play PlayStation.
There's not as much overhead, probably, as well.
Right. What mm-hmm. What were you saying, Chad? You lost it.
Oh, I was going to say, so what do you think we're going to see? All the big houses are going to basically abandon PCs and Macs, and it's just small developers will be making games?
Eventually,
I don't think they're going to abandon the PC.
No, not the PC,
but
the Mac.
There's plenty of people that buy PC games.
Yeah, I think they're going to abandon the Mac.
You know, I disagree. I think as more and more people buy Macs, and you know, the recent trend has been that the Mac OS's market share has been increasing. That you know, they're going to want a piece of that action. And like you said, there are plenty of people who own Macs that are interested in games. You know, I'm interested in games, not so much, you know, staying online for 6 hours at a time.
Okay, but you just told me you bought Need for Speed Carbon, right? For the
right.
Probably the PS2?
Yes.
Okay, what's the last Mac game you bought?
The last Mac game I bought was Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
When did it come out? When did you buy it?
I don't remember when it came out. I bought it for my son Peter's birthday in June.
Okay. Before that one, since that was for him, mm-hmm. what was the game before that? My point is, I bet you probably buy console games at a much higher rate than you do PC games.
Well,
PC
sure.
PC being Mac games for this discussion.
There's not really that many Mac games out at the moment.
Right. And does that make you mad?
It's not so much that it makes me mad. It disappoints me because, you know, my job entails some, or used to anyway, entails some amount of traveling. And, you know, there are plenty of times I'm sitting in a hotel room. There's crap on TV. You know, I don't feel like spending $15 for a pay-per-view movie at the hotel. And for one reason or another, I don't feel like going online on my iBook. But, you know, I could easily kill 2 to 3 hours playing a Mac game.
Couldn't you with a PSP or a DS as well, though?
Yeah, you can, but, you know, I really like... Oh, God, excuse me. I really like the bigger screen.
Me too.
And it's why, you know, even though the PSP has a great screen and there's some really cool games for it, the price tag and the fact that it's on, 2.5-inch screen or 3-inch screen, It doesn't interest me. And this kind of leads into, you know, the whole deal with video content for portable media players. You know, I don't have an iPod that plays video, and I'm not interested for, you know, various reasons that we'll go into later, for the Zune, even though the Zune has a 3-inch screen, the iPod with video has a 2.5-inch screen. As far as I'm concerned, that's crap for watching video.
Well, and frankly, you know, as someone who doesn't travel as much as you, Guy, but has traveled occasionally, I don't want to have to pack another electronic device to unpack at the airport security, to pack back up again, to carry around with me, to worry about whether it's packed or not.
And exactly. If you've got the games available and they're on your computer, you know, then great. You know, you're good to go. You're looking at, depending on, you know, what kind of computer you have, a 12 to, you know, God forbid somebody goes out and buys a $2,500 17-inch Intel
MacBook Pro
to play games on a plane, because, you know, the guy would look like a dweeb. But just to be able to play those games while you're traveling and, you know, have it on a nice big screen.
So you mentioned the Zune. Any news about the Zune this week?
The damn thing is finally released.
It was released.
Yeah, well, only in the United States. And oddly enough, well, I guess it's probably coming from Microsoft. It's not that odd. It's been, for the most part, universally panned. A lot of people don't like some of the restrictions that's been placed on it, especially considering that these same features were considered to be revolutionary, like the Wi-Fi feature.
Yeah, I'm sure that will suck batteries dry quick, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of being panned, and this was great, this was up on CNN's website.
This is CNN.
I actually used Audio Hijack Pro to steal the audio from it. This is from CNN's American Morning, and the little news segment was called Microsoft's Zune Released. So let's play that real quick, and then we'll talk about it.
Listen up, iPod lovers. There's some competition on the block. You ready to switch to the Zune? I don't know yet. Andrew Ross Sorkin of the New York Times is here to give us a preview of Microsoft's entry into this realm.
Today is the big day. Here it is. It's a little flacking for Microsoft. This is the new Zune, the wannabe iPod killer. The real question is, can it kill the iPod? And as we know, iPod owns 70% of the market. This is coming on day one, trying to beat them out. It does a couple of things that are a little bit cooler than the iPod, but a lot of things that probably aren't. The cool things has a radio in it, if that means anything to you. But the real cool thing is it has Wi-Fi, so that if you have a Zune and I have a Zune, we can trade music. So that's sort of cool, but it's heavier.
But you got to find another Zune user.
You're right. So Microsoft, this only is going to work for Microsoft if they have a real critical mass, in terms of people who have the Zune. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
And you can email with it, right?
No email. No, it's just trading songs. So
can you pull songs off of a network if you have them on a server somewhere?
Just Zune to Zune. Oh, so if you're in a Starbucks and I'm in a Starbucks and we see each other, and not only that, it's not that I can see what you have, but then I actually have to go over and say, hey, Miles, can you beam me your song?
Right.
And then I can play it three times, and then if I want to buy it, I can buy it. So that's how it sort of works. But here's the part that's not...
fine print there.
And it costs the same?
Costs the same. Costs the same, has the same amount of memory and everything else. But here's the part that's not so cool. If you have bought songs on iTunes, on Apple, for example, doesn't play here. And even worse, if you've bought songs on Napster or some of the former Microsoft-compliant devices, also doesn't work here.
Really?
So you have to start your library all over again, unless you have it all on CD to begin with.
So who do they think is going to buy this? Because if a lot of people have the iPod already, it doesn't seem to offer a lot different that would make you say, oh, get rid of my iPod and buy this new Zune.
Well, I think there is something to be said about this kind of social networking feature, and I do think there's a little bit of a backlash, you know, against Apple in a sense. Apple is the new monopoly. Apple is the new Microsoft, if you will, of music, and I think there's a little undercurrent of some folks who may say, you know what, I'm not going to play that. I'm going to try this new thing. So we'll see.
May I show you my new shuffle?
Now that's the thing that's a lot sexier than this, right?
Hello, look at this. It weighs nothing. It literally is the size of a matchbook and weighs that. 70-something bucks. So why would I buy that heavy, although I get a lot more songs, obviously.
And you get the video.
And
you get the video. You know, Microsoft, in the end, I'm sure will come out with something. I don't know if it'll be that pretty, but something. Isn't that neat? Oh, my God.
The pretty factor is...
The pretty factor is...
If I don't want to listen in, I could just put my...
Why don't they get some decent design people to make things look better? It's clunky. It's clunky stuff.
No comment.
Okay, so...
Wouldn't you feel like crap if you were the Microsoft PR guy for this product?
Why don't they hire some designers over there? This is just clunky.
You're thinking your big spiel on the Zune is going to be on CNN, and they end up talking about how pretty the iPod Shuffle is.
But who watches CNN?
A lot of people. But here's the thing, and Chad's exactly right. They're talking about the Zune, and this is its spotlight. And what does the frickin' co-host do? Pulls a frickin' mini out of her pocket and goes, look at this.
Isn't it pretty?
Hello. When she says, hello, she's bouncing it up and down. Hello. You know, the Microsoft.
Was it a mini or was it an app?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a shuffle.
Shuffle.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
A shuffle. She pulls a little silver shuffle out. And she's like, hello, look at me. And I'm like, oh, man. Microsoft finally gets the big release.
Yeah.
But how stupid is Microsoft to release this thing in the same time frame as the PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Wii? A lot of those are the same people that are going to buy the game consoles is going to buy this new MP3 player.
Well, you can pretty much assume that you know, they're trying to get the jump on the holiday buying season. You know, Black Friday's coming up.
Yeah.
And they're trying to create... To be honest, I don't think they really care that it's getting panned the way it is.
Oh, sure they do.
Because I don't think so. Because people at least are talking about it.
Yeah, but
it's all over the place.
Yeah, but if the guy on CNN saying this thing is clunky, why don't they hire some good designers? That's not a good thing, no matter what. It's not always, you know, bad news is better than no news. This is CNN, an anchor on CNN, just dissing it.
Slam
outright dissing it, just and not only dissing it, dismissing it, as in it's clunky. It's why, you know, and they're talking about the iPod, how sexy it is, and that's just like kapow.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing about all of that is that it's oh so very true.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
The Zune, from everything I've read, and the only place I've seen it is behind a glass wall at a Target.
Well, I will say this. I played with one.
Oh, you did?
Yep, and it was at Target, but it wasn't bolted down yet. It was a new display. And I asked a guy that was there, he was setting everything up. He had it running, and he had these little crappy speakers hooked up to it. I said, can I check that out? And he handed it to me, so I got to play with it. It has a scroll wheel, but it's not an actual scroll wheel. It's just circle.
Right. With buttons onto four corners.
Right. I've heard some people say, oh, it's pretty intuitive. I think it's counterintuitive. Everything I was trying to do, I couldn't figure out how to do it easily. I was trying to fast forward in a song. I couldn't figure out how to do it. If I can't figure out how to do that in 30 seconds...
You're going to move on.
I'm going to move. It felt cheap. Now, don't get me wrong. I hope they're kind of successful with it because I think it's going to push Apple to make the iPod and iTunes even better. Competition is good. When you own 100% of a market, that's not a good thing for the consumer.
No,
so I want the Zune to do well. I don't want it to beat out the iPod. I'm an Apple fan.
Well, based on what they've put out so far, I don't think you have to worry about that just yet.
Probably not, but this is a first-generation product, and never, ever underestimate Microsoft.
Well, I mean, you were talking about the scroll wheel, or the fake scroll wheel, actually. You know, how hard would it have been, instead of trying to copy something that the iPod does so well, just put four buttons there?
Yeah.
It would certainly be, you know, because the way it is right now, it's almost like, look, we have a scroll wheel too. Well,
not really. No,
not I'll tell you really. What, I want to play a promo here real quick. So hold on a minute, guy.
Okay. Hi, my name is Tom Schmidt. Have you ever wanted an Apple-certified technician available whenever the need arose? Well, now you have one at the MyMac.com help desk. Email your questions or problems to tom@mymac.com. I will do the best that I can to answer them. I have over 20 years of Macintosh experience and the resources of one of the top three Apple specialist dealers in the United States at my disposal. Also, be sure to read the MyMac.com help desk column the last week of each month on the MyMac.com website. Send your letters to tom@mymac.com. Thanks for reading, and thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.
And thanks very much to Tom for putting in the promo. Boy, I don't know what that sound was right there, but that sounded horrible. Did you hear that,
yeah,
Jack?
I heard that.
Okay, well, we're back with Guy, and we're back with a special guest, John Nemo. Hi, John.
Hi, I'm delighted to be on the new old podcast.
Well, it's still the old podcast. The new podcast actually won't come out until the Monday after Thanksgiving. So
that's next Monday.
No, that's the Monday after next.
Oh, a week from Monday.
Yes.
Yeah.
A week from Monday.
Yeah, this one will still be there tomorrow or Friday.
Yes. So I listened to, and unfortunately, John, neither Chad nor Guy got to hear it yet, but I got to listen to the first Book Bites Live, your new segment on the podcast. And I got to say, I was very impressed.
Terrific. I'm glad it came through okay.
I was... for the uninitiated, which is everybody because nobody mm-hmm. else has heard it but me yet, could you explain what your new segment's going to be about?
Yes. We've taken the emphasis on books because I have so much experience doing book reviews. And my goal is to line up a different book publisher or author or editor, something having to do with the Macintosh or internet or application book community, and interview one of those people in a brief live segment every week as part of the new version 2, MyMac.com weekly podcast, which will be coming out on Mondays.
So what did you think of the new MyMac.com podcast logo that I sent you an early preview of? You like it?
I like it.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's going to take me a while to get used to it, but I certainly like it. I have no objections to it, but I definitely approve of it.
I figured with the new direction of the podcast, kind of a refocusing of the show, that... a new graphic would definitely be warranted, and Donnie really came through. So instead of talking about any more Mac news, let's jump into what's going on up at MyMac.com at the moment.
Yep.
And I think other than Chad, everybody, well, and other than me, I don't seem to have anything posted up there at the moment either. But I'm the publisher. It takes me so much time to get everybody else edited that it cuts into my own writing time. Excuse me. Speaking of the Zune, as we were just talking about the Zune, John mm-hmm. Martellaro has a blog called The Zune's Hidden Agenda. It's pretty good for conspiracy theorists and buffs. I don't know if Microsoft even has a hidden agenda. Do you guys?
Other than making gobs and gobs of money and dominating the world, no, I don't think they have an agenda at all.
No? What do you think, John?
I think their hidden agenda is to make good software and hardware that people can actually use and enjoy. That's definitely hidden. It's not anything that's obvious to the real world.
Reminds me of Pink, that always the last line of Pinky in the Brain, you know, what are we going to do tomorrow night, Brain? Try to take over the world.
I think the only thing Microsoft wants to take over is more piles of cash. And I know you didn't get to hear it, John, but we played a clip from CNN American Morning. And mm-hmm. it's the big Zune unveiling on the show, and the guys are just dissing it big time. And the female co-host actually pulls an iPod Shuffle out of her pocket. And it's like, oh, wow. And they all go goo-goo gaga over the Shuffle. And at the end, the other CNN anchor's talking about Microsoft. He's like, why don't they hire some good designers over there? That thing's just clunky. It's just embarrassing. It's like, oh, wow, that's bad. Speaking of, well, I was going to say clunky, but that... it. It didn't work.
No.
John, you posted a blog called the Otterbox Kickboard or Powerbook Case. What's up with that?
Well, I've done a couple of podcast reviews of the Otterbox, which is a very, very high-quality, rugged laptop case for 13- and 15-inch computers. And because my swimming pool season was getting to the very end, I took this thing for a swim, and I smashed it and I dunked it, and you can read all about it on the Otterbox Kickboard or Powerbook Case posting on November the 12th.
So you actually put your Powerbook in there and took it for a swim, right?
Did not take the Powerbook in there. No, they advised me from Otterbox that even though it's an all-weather case, do not push my luck the very first time,
no.
And I'm glad I didn't, because as I noted, seriously, if you are outside in inclement weather or you decide to take your computer canoeing or something absurd like that, make sure it's in some sort of protected sleeve or a plastic bag, because when you open up the Otterbox, the O-rings drip down tiny bits of water, just like when you come in from the rain and you take off your hat, a little bit of water will come out and drip on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware if you are going to do anything ridiculously rugged and wet with your Otterbox, which it can handle. The interior is going to have a few tiny droplets of water, so just protect whatever is inside. But this case is really built to last. This thing is solid. And as I said, when my wife saw me smashing it against the edge of the swimming pool, the tile, and the flagstone, she thought I had really flipped my lid completely,
you know,
permanently.
It sounds like a Chris Siebold video review.
Yeah.
we got to figure out. Here's a quest for you, John. Chris Siebold wants to do a video review of something that he can have fun with during the actual video review.
Okie dokie.
So I'll leave it up to you to come up with a cool product that the company cannot have back, because Lord only knows what Chris will do to this poor thing.
I will take that as a challenge.
But knowing Chris, it will be funny, and it won't be, you know, it won't do the product a disservice. It won't hurt the company's reputation any.
Well, that leads me into my first plug. What is the type of microphone that you're using, Guy, and what is the type of microphone that Chad and Tim are using?
Well, I'm using a Shure SM57 tied into an Alesis USB multi-mix.
If you go up to smalldog.com, the sponsor for this podcast, by the way, there's a plug. And you do a search for the M-Audio, it's M-Audio, Classroom. Just look for M-Audio Classroom. You'll see the bundle that Chad and I use, and it's actually two high-quality condenser microphones.
Yep, Nova Class condenser mics.
Yep, these do require phantom power, which is why we use the mobile pre-USB from M-Audio, and that's what goes into our computers. So these are definitely high-quality microphones. They do cost a lot. Chad and I, the bundle that we're using costs $200.
Well,
No. I'm sorry, this costs $399. I apologize, $399. Mm.
Well, I'm that's getting up there, but that's still not too bad.
No.
I'm speaking to you clearly on a brand new product from SamsonTech.com, and I will be talking about this at length. And our goal is to have both Robert and me use these SamsonTech microphones. The extraordinary thing about them is they look like regular broadcast mics, and I'll send you some photographs, but they just plug into the USB port, and they are ready to go. They make two models, the CO1 and the CO3, and I'll explain about the difference in my posting. But I'm using the version CO3. I plugged it into USB, and I am live at very high quality.
How does it come with a stand or anything?
It doesn't come with anything. They sent a stand, and they also sent a thing that looks like a tarantula, a vibration-free contraption that the microphone sits in.
Oh, I like those.
I bang into it.
I always thought those things look very cool. Like I've got a pop filter now on our microphone. Actually, Guy was with me in Grand Rapids when I bought it.
Right.
And I don't know if I really needed a pop filter, but they just look so cool, and I feel like a professional with it on here. That's the only reason I really wanted it. It was just cool.
My sneak peek review of this Samson is I'm leaning toward a 6 out of 5, wow. which will be the first wow. time I've given anything a 6 out of 5.
That's incredible.
It took me much longer to figure out how to get this microphone to fit into the tarantula thing than it did to get it to work via USB, which was 0 seconds.
So you just plugged it in, GarageBand saw it, the Mac saw it, and used it.
I've used it in Skype, and I've used it in Audio Hijack. I haven't done it in GarageBand yet, but I'm sure it'll be ready to roll in 0 seconds.
Well, I tell you, we do have a few current podcasters listening, and we do have a few, I don't want to say wannabe, because that almost sounds...
Lame. Like an insult.
But it's people who want to get into podcasting, yeah. which I completely encourage. Mm-hmm. Especially if
there's a bright red sticker on the front of this Samson. It says ideal for podcasting.
A company that can see the future and, mm-hmm. and is definitely jumping into the market when the going gets good. You know,
what's the retail on that one?
Yeah, how much does it cost, you know?
It's in the low hundreds. My whole setup here is around 200, and I'll have all the details on that, but this is incredibly affordable, and the baby model of it, which is the CO1, is under $100, so basically for $100 with the stand, you can be ready to go, and
so we're going to get one sent out to Robert as well, and you guys are going to do kind of a tag team review on them?
That's my goal, and I will be in touch with Samson about that as soon as I get my review posted so they can see we really are on the level.
Absolutely. Cool beans. Thank you to them. Donnie Yankelo has a blog posted called What's Missing from the iTunes Music Store. I found that we didn't get a whole lot of people contributing to that in the article discussion, but you know what? That's something that I would really like to see discussed more on the Mac Web in general. Someone keeps messing with their mic. Please stop. It's John messing with the tarantula. I know. what is missing, and Donnie says concert videos, not music videos, but concert videos, and I 100% agree. Why isn't there any concerts that you can download and watch in the iTunes Music Store?
Have any of you listened to that service, and I can't remember the name of it, that has all these live recordings of groups like going back to the 60s and 70s and 80s, live concerts that one guy has masterminded, and it's streaming constantly on the internet. 30 or 40 streams of live concerts. Do you know what that thing is called?
No clue.
The King Biscuit Flower Hour?
No, I'll have to look this up.
I would be interested in that, but I'm more interested in, and I actually contribute to this article discussion. I remember watching a VHS copy of the Purple Rain concert from Prince and the Revolution from 1985, so a year after the actual movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was 86, and whatever it was.
And are you sure that was... Okay,
yeah, ahead, it was sorry. Prince and the Revolution, and it was for that movie.
You sure it was Rain, or was it...
No, it was Purple Rain, yes. Because he ended the show with Purple Rain, and it was like 18 minutes long encore of just one song. It was unbelievable, and it really showed mm-hmm. the genius that Prince really is when it comes to music. But I remember thinking, I'd really like to get this video because it was just what a performance, what a performer. Mm-hmm. They were at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just absolutely fantastic. Well, it's never come out on DVD. I've actually, because this conversation with Donnie and his post got me thinking about it again. I actually just went ahead and ordered the VHS copy. Haven't got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put it on DVD myself.
Yeah.
But why don't we Pirate have
Bay.
Concerts?
Yeah.
No, I looked. It's not on the Pirate Bay. why don't Apple sell concert videos? That would seem to be a no-brainer to me. Is that something you guys would buy?
It would. I guess it would kind of depend on what was being released.
And how much would you charge if you can buy the album for $10?
Right.
Music videos are $1.99. Movies are what, set $15?
Yeah.
What would a music video or a music concert video go for?
Well, how long of a concert are we?
Well, just an average concert, say U2 at Madison Square Garden, two-hour
like
concert,
an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Right. I would think
that. Well, I mean, I would think whatever it is they're charging for movies, $12.99 to $14.
I think if they really wanted to do this right, because I don't think these concert videos sell well in stores.
Mm-hmm.
I think you put them out there for $7.99.
If it's under $10, they'll sell a million.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. How long, and we'll start with John on this one. how long before Apple makes a deal with another music or a movie company, and we see some new content as far as movies in the iTunes Music Store?
I think Macworld 07 is going to be huge for multimedia announcements.
What do you think, Guy?
I think he's right. What they're waiting on right now is for the holiday season to be over with, for everyone to go out and buy whatever DVDs that they're going to buy as gifts, and then once the big gift-giving season is done, there'll be all these announcements made.
Chad?
I think you'll see one more before the holidays.
One more product announcement before the holidays, or one more?
I think one more movie studio sign up.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Chad. I think you're going to see another one join in here really soon. I think it's going to be someone like Fox. I don't think it's going to be like...
If somebody else was going to jump in, I don't think it's going to be a major studio. I think it's going to be more along the lines of a smaller studio.
Lionsgate or something
wants
like that.
Want to get their name out, and this is a perfect way to do it because everyone's going to be going, oh, wow, another movie studio for the iTunes store.
But are the movies actually selling, or are they just...
Disney sold their 1 millionth movie in the iTunes movie store like a week or so ago. So, yeah.
It was a million?
Yeah, it was...
I thought it was like at 475,000.
I heard it was...
Well, I think Nemo is right, though. The biggest announcements are going to be at Macworld Expo when you see the ITV come out.
Yeah, the ITV is going to really herald. But Apple's got some competition there. Microsoft is going to be selling movies and television shows via Xbox Live for the Xbox 360. Now, you could snore, but there's a lot of Xbox 360 users, and they're talking about high definition, not the crappy high definition that Apple calls high definition when you buy stuff from the iTunes Music Store.
680 by 4 or 6.
Yeah, don't tell me that's near DVD quality. It's
640
crap.
By 480 is not. But at the same time, the ITV is supposed to have an HDMI output.
But by the same token, with the Xbox 360 and Live, you can buy a television show or a movie in 720p. Same price that you're going to buy on iTunes. And it's already connected to your HD TV set.
But what's the one thing that you need for that?
You need to buy Microsoft Xbox points.
Microsoft points. But if you're if you're already signed up to Live, you already buy those anyways. So they've already got you.
Right. But an Xbox 360 is still, what, $400?
Well, what's an iPod?
Well, but see, that's different because an iPod is portable.
Well,
an Xbox,
how much is the ITV? $250?
$299? $249, I believe.
$250, and all you're going to be able to do is watch movies on your TV.
Right.
For $400, you can play games, you can download trailers, you can do all kinds of stuff with Xbox 360. What's the better value?
People that don't particularly care about playing games.
Well, by the same token, you could buy the HD DVD add-on to the Xbox 360, and you could buy true HD movies and watch them on that device. No computer manufacturer has either HD DVD or Blu-ray on a computer yet. You know, game consoles and computer systems are really starting to merge as far as functionality is concerned. So I think that's a looming battle. I think there's a lot of stuff coming up that's going to be very interesting.
It won't be until probably, I'm thinking, late next year, because it's too late to release something like that now.
They're releasing it the end of this month.
Well, yeah, but that's okay.
Chad Perry and I went up to Grand Rapids last week, hence no podcast last week.
Yep.
And what was it, the 7th that we went up?
Mm-hmm.
We went up to the Grand Rapids Apple Store and had a podcast class, and it was fun. We didn't have a whole lot of people there, and that was kind of expected. I mean, it was a Wednesday. It was 6 o'clock, so most people weren't even home from work yet, and we weren't broadcasting live to the thousands and millions of people on the internet. But it was fun. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
My truck broke because of it, but, you know, that's...
At least it didn't break while we were driving.
Well, yeah, kind of did.
Yeah,
it started to, yeah.
It started to, but it got us home, so that's a good thing. I got an email from two listeners said they couldn't make it up, wanting to know if we're going to go up there and do another workshop again. To which the answer, Chad, is Chad's yawning right now. He had so much fun there.
Yeah.
Just the memory of it.
Unlikely. Unlikely. Not to teach podcasting class. Now, we may be up there going to do a live podcast.
Yeah. I think we'll go up there on Saturday sometime.
As live as you can get on a podcast.
Right. Do it on the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go up on a Saturday, and we're going to have another show there. Maybe we'll give some stuff away. I learned a lot of what not to do and what to do from when Guy and I were up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now how many people? I mean, where were the two people that said they couldn't make it? Where were they from?
One was from Novi, Michigan, and I think the other one was from Grand Rapids.
Well, is Novi anywhere near where you and Chad live?
No, Novi is east side of the street, Detroit.
Okay, because Detroit. You don't necessarily really need the Apple Store.
Well, I don't really want to get into teaching podcasting as a business.
Well, no, not necessarily teaching podcasting, but just doing a live podcast.
Yeah, I've thought about that in the past, that it might be kind of cool, and Chad and I talked about this last year, going up to a user group meeting in either Detroit or Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Springer is a member of the Apple group up there.
Yeah, the Cherryland Mug.
And we thought about going up there and recording a podcast, but it's just a lot of work for Chad and I to coordinate going somewhere and doing it. It's just a lot of effort.
Well, as compared to going to the Apple Store and having no one there?
Well, it wasn't that nobody was there. It was just that...
Well, yeah, I know.
It's a long drive. It wasn't
good
weather.
But Rick's a lot closer than that, isn't he?
No, Rick's even twice as far.
Even farther?
Oh, yeah. Traverse City is a good four and a half hour drive.
Are there any other user groups that are close by?
No, not really. And that's John, you're part of the Arizona user group.
Absolutely. I taught a class last night.
What's
the Tucson Macintosh users group?
What's the attendance like there? Is it big or?
It's a consistent 40 to 70.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah. That is great. The last
you would get a much better audience participation and certainly a lot more attendance because the user groups will promote you and they'll let their members know and say, hey, we got something special going on. Come on out and meet these guys.
We did that for the 100th episode, and I don't think either one of their user groups up in the West Michigan or Grand Rapids area did anything with it. In fact, it took them weeks before they even responded to my email. So I was
at the same time, we didn't get any promotion from Apple either.
No, none. Zero. Which I think hurt. And they didn't promote Chad and I coming up to do this podcast. They just promoted the podcast workshop. But they didn't say we're going to have podcasters from MyMac.com come and do it.
Right.
Speaking of promotion, I've been talking with IDG about the Macworld Expo. We're going to start reminding people of it. We're going to have Paul Kent, who we had last year on the show.
Oh, great. He's coming back on.
Yeah, he's going to come back on the 7th, I believe, is the date.
Okay.
It was originally going to be the week before, but he's actually going to be in the air at the time we do our podcast.
Okay.
So that really wouldn't work. So it's going to be the week after. We're going to have Paul Kent on, come on, talk about what's going on at the Expo this year. And I think we're going to do a few more interviews with some of the speakers that are going to be there at Macworld.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ought to be a lot of fun. We definitely want to encourage all of our listeners to attend Macworld Expo. This year, other than Chad, and I might be able to finagle him going, who knows. But right now, both I am going, Guy is going, and John Nima will be there.
Yep.
And Roger Bourne has registered,
yep.
And so mm-hmm. has David Weeks. And Artie will be registering tomorrow morning.
That's six members from MyMac.com that's already registered. And we know Owen's going to go. So that's seven.
Also, my brother Larry will be there.
We'll put him to work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
tote that barge. Well, he's got bad knees, so I don't know how much you're going to get out of him.
And
we hope David Avery can be there. What about John Martello?
Well, David Avery definitely will be there because he's going to be moving to that area. So
mm-hmm.
he took a job with I don't want to say with who. It's a big company who makes a lot of graphic software. That's all I can say.
Okay.
So he's going to be there. I'm pretty sure Marty will be there, John Martellaro,
mm-hmm.
Probably covering it most likely for the Mac Observer because they're a news website, but I'm sure he'll put some stuff together for us as well. So we're going to have a very strong presence. I've already registered. I registered a couple days ago. We're going to have a very strong presence this year at the Macworld Expo. We're going to do podcasting every day. We're going to have written articles every day. We're going to have pictures every day, and we're probably
Bakari's going
to
be there.
And Bakari, that's like we're up to nine now.
Well, have you thought about t-shirts or anything like that to identify ourselves as MyMac.com guys?
Sure, go up to Cafe Express / MyMac and order yourself one.
I've got one. I wore it to the
Grand Rapids one. Yes, you did. And I've got a couple golf shirts myself. If I can swing it, I'm going to buy everybody a shirt, but we'll have to see how that goes. It depends on how much sponsor and advertising money we have in.
Right.
But we're also probably going to do some video work as part of our coverage. Mm. And it's going to be a little bit different this year because the last time I went to an expo was in 2000. So I haven't been on the ground to run the show for our coverage at Macworld Expo. That's going to change this year.
It's going to be terrific.
And we're really going to, because I've got definite ideas and plans what we're going to cover, how we're going to cover it. We're going to be very unique. We're not going to cover everything that's there, obviously. But we're also not only going to concentrate on, you know, the HPs and the Apples and the Adobes.
Right.
We're going to go and get in the face of the little booth way in the back that has a cool product that nobody else is reporting on. Mm-hmm. We want to bring what it feels like to be at this show. The level of excitement, we want to bring that to our readers and our listeners. And with any luck, maybe we can somehow finagle Chad to go too.
We'll see.
That'd be great. Not yet. I got to take off, everybody.
We'll also, okay, John.
Yep.
Excuse me for coming and then going, but thanks for having me on, and I'll be in touch with everybody real soon.
Well, we look forward to hearing Book Bites Live, John. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in, Nemo.
Take care, John.
Thanks a million.
And you still there, guy?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
We had a lot of interference on his end.
Yeah.
Something else to think about, you know, talking about Macworld, is depending on what everyone's living situation is like, we really need to get one particular either hotel room or house.
That's we'll take care of that. We could talk about that off air.
Okay.
I was invited to stay at a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say where. I will say that it would probably be any hardcore Apple fan's wet dream.
Mm-hmm.
But whether that happens or not, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, without it being sure, you can't go on a wing and a prayer. You have to have something definite for something like this.
Right. Worst case scenario, I team up with somebody else that's already there and sleep on their floor. You know, but in another respect, I'm a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And it would really be nice to have a place to go for just myself after a long day at the expo and recording podcasts and doing video and taking pictures and writing articles, to be able to go, have a cigarette, sit down, relax, and then go to sleep. Not necessarily in that order, but...
Mm-hmm.
Sleep.
Yeah, you
sleep
really shouldn't. Blast. You really shouldn't smoke cigarettes if you're asleep.
I know
that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff going up at MyMac.com right now. We've got some obviously podcasts. I was going to ask John about his Bose around ear headphone.
I was going to ask him about that too, but
we just didn't get to it. As I am wont to do, I got sidetracked with everything else. Artie has a really good review of one Photoshop book for CS2. It's not just Photoshop's, but. Donnie got that customize your iPod from iFrogs thing. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind having my own custom graphics on my iPod rather than, you know, some cheap skull and crossbones or something like that.
Yeah.
What's coming up on the pipeline from Guy Searle? Anything, you got any reviews pending or?
Oh, yeah. I received the iTopper, which is a semi cover for the iBooks and MacBook
lines. We talked about that before, correct?
Yes, we did. We talked about that, I think, about 2 weeks ago.
He's the gentleman that was actually from our area, Grand Rapids.
Yes, and real super guy. I looked up the website, sent him an email. He appreciated us talking about him on the podcast.
Hey, and talk about
he
anybody.
He sent me the blue iTopper for the 14-inch iBook.
What's the website?
It's itoppers.com, itoppers.com.
So you can dress up your MacBook or your iBook, right?
Yes, it's not quite as easy as it might sound. This is essentially a big vinyl sticker, and you kind of have just one shot at getting it right. And, you know, when the review comes out, you can... read about.
Yeah, we don't want to blow your load yet, but.
No, but let me say it was somewhat similar to my adventures of putting a new hard drive in the iBook. I really treat that iBook like crap, and I'm surprised that it still starts up for me sometimes.
I think the rule of thumb is read the manual first, right?
Yes, and all the way through.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but you're not saying on the podcast, though, that the iTopper isn't a good product.
No, and it really gives the iBook, because I mean the iBook is so vanilla plain, mm-hmm. As are the MacBooks, that it really gives it a distinctive look, and even with how much I screwed up when I was putting it on, I really like it on there. It's very distinctive and it's very attractive, minus the various little air bubbles that I had left in mind.
Well, that'll probably...
La, 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 air bubbles, la, la, la.
We'll post that up on the website on Monday, so...
Coming soon.
Coming soon to a Mac user near you. cool. You got anything, Chad?
I am tapped.
We obviously will be back in 2 weeks' time with the relaunching of My Mac Podcast 2.0, number 108. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And like we were saying on the show, we're going to have actual content. If there's stuff that you guys being the audience, would like us to cover or talk about, is there a product out there that you would like to hear our opinion on? Maybe it's a game. Whatever it happens to be. Maybe you want to hear us talk about some of the old Macs. Is there any one particular Mac you'd like to learn more information on? Let us know. Simply send an email to tim@mymac.com, and I'll share your email with both Chad and Guy. And we're not asking our listeners to help make the show. I think that's a sign of somebody with no ideas of their own. But if you do have a suggestion, we definitely want to hear it. And I'm not even sure what we're going to talk about on the next episode. But the next episode of the MyMac.com podcast is going to be completely different. We're going to go back to what we were doing before.
Yep.
We did a little bit of that today, bringing John
in. I was going to say, Tim, other than talking about the Zune, I think this is probably kind of a preview because we didn't really talk that much about news on this show. It was more of an opinion show.
But we rambled a whole lot. I mean,
well, yeah, but we're
and we Mac guys. And we've done it for an hour and 2 minutes so far. Whereas whereas what we're going to be doing on. From now on, our segment is going to be 20 minutes tops, unless we have a really good interview with someone that goes for like a half hour. If we get, a Steve Wozniak or Gil Emilio or Steve Jobs, hell, it could be an hour and a half podcast as long as it's interesting. But
And
our segment...
People can also get a hold of us at 801-938-5559.
And the new format is going to be very open to us playing your comments. So,
yep.
And it doesn't have to be just to Tim, Guy, or Chad. It can be to any one of the contributors to the podcast. And we'll see what happens. And excuse me. Hopefully we'll get even more segments on the show eventually. And it's really going to be a best of, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just going to be us rambling like I am right now. It's going to be very focused.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear... the best of running your Mac on a PC or Mac in a PC world.
Network, yeah.
Yeah.
Fenestrations. Right.
You're going to hear some good reviews and maybe tips and tricks from
Robert Hazelrig.
Have you noticed I try to say his last name different every time?
Yeah.
Yeah. He finally caught on to that, I think. from Robert Hazelbush. And then
Hazel Carey,
and then Guy Searles, not Mac News.
Yep.
What else we got? We got Book Bites Live.
Yep. From Nemo,
and then whatever we're going to be covering.
Yep.
So we definitely want to hear back from the listeners.
There may be times when one of the guys doesn't have a segment for us for the week.
Absolutely, and that's the nice open ended type of show that we're going to do. That if John's not ready with a interview with someone. That's fine. It doesn't have to be on every single episode. And neither do we. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's a time that we just cannot get together to record our segment, that's not going to put the kibosh on an entire show.
No.
So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you guys will stick around and listen to the new show when it launches in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Suggestions, questions, comments, whatever you have, send them to tim@mymac.com. Or what's that phone number again, Guy?
That's, oh, God.
1-801-938-5559 is our Skype comment line.
Yeah, what Chad said.
That's what Chad said. So it's been fun doing the commentary, running commentary with both you guys, and I'm going to miss it somewhat, I got to say. It's nice to have a voice.
Well, it's not like our focused segments aren't going to have a little free form.
No, it will still do a little bit, but it's going to be a little bit more focused. At least one or two subjects tops per show, and get her done.
Get her done.
For the Tim and Guy, I want to say thank you for listening, and make sure you visit our sponsor at smalldog.com.
Also, visit our other sponsor at innotech.com, innotech.com, for all your Apple or PC web hosting needs.
And be sure to visit mymac.com at least once a day.
Oh, yeah. Lots of new stuff coming all the time.
Goodbye.
See ya.
See you later.
Thanks for downloading the mymac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at mymac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the mymac.com podcast.